Okay, so if you're one of the, I don't know, millions of people who's looked at property prices in places like New York, London, maybe Dubai, and you've just felt that sinking feeling like I am completely priced out, well, this deep dive is definitely for you. Those traditional hotspots, they often feel oversaturated now, costs are just soaring, and regulations seem to get tighter every year. The barrier to entry feels, well, impossibly high.
That's exactly it. And, smart money sees that too. The high upfront costs, the legal hoops you have to jump through, the taxes, it's driving capital to look elsewhere. But the big question, the one we need to answer, is where can you find property that's genuinely affordable without just buying something that's going to lose value?
And that's our mission today. We're not just bargain hunting here. We're looking for real value. That means finding markets where your money goes further, much further, where you can get decent rental yields, and crucially, where there's genuine potential for appreciation, based on solid economic factors.
And this whole landscape, it's really shifting in 2025. You've got these big macroeconomic changes pushing investors beyond the usual suspects. Plus, technology is, well, it's changing the game entirely, making global property investment way more accessible than it ever used to be.
Okay, let's unpack that then. What are the actual drivers creating these new opportunities in these, let's call them, affordable markets?
Well, first off, we have to challenge that old thinking, the idea that affordable automatically means low quality or poor returns.
Right. Cheap and cheerful, but maybe not a great investment.
Exactly. That might have been true once, but it's really changing fast. You see a lot of emerging markets now actively courting foreign investment. They're offering investor-friendly rules. They've got cities growing incredibly quickly and rental yields that, frankly, you just won't find in London or Paris anymore.
So it's about flipping the script. Instead of chasing the established name, our sources suggest looking for cities with like growing populations and big infrastructure plans. Is that the main mindset shift?
It absolutely is. And that connects directly to the bigger economic forces at play. Think about global instability, shifting interest rates, inflation. These things create volatility, especially in local currencies.
Okay, hold on. How does currency volatility become an opportunity for someone holding, say, dollars or euros? That sounds risky.
It can be, but think of it like this. If a country's currency weakens, maybe 15% against the dollar in just a few months, well, suddenly, if you're buying in dollars, you get a 15% discount on that property instantly. It creates these temporary windows, these pockets of extreme value. It lets global investors get into markets they might have previously overlooked, but at a really attractive price point. It's basically an arbitrage opportunity driven by the exchange rate.
And getting access isn't the hurdle it used to be either. You mentioned technology. Digital platforms seem to have just dismantled those geographic barriers. You don't need to fly halfway across the world anymore.
Precisely. And it's more than just wiring money easily. We're talking about tools that allow for fractional ownership, buying just a piece of a property, and platforms using things like blockchain for, really transparent title records.
So you could realistically invest in a vetted property in, say, Southeast Asia or South America from your living room.
That's the reality now. It lowers the amount of capital you need up front, and it streamlines a lot of the due diligence headache, too.
What's really fascinating is how this tech access meets changing demand. We're seeing different groups driving this need, right? Like retirees looking for affordable second home somewhere sunny.
Yeah, or digital nomads needing decent long-term rentals in interesting, affordable cities. And of course, younger investors just trying to get a foot on the property ladder somewhere, anywhere.
So it's this convergence, these economic discounts, the easy digital access, and these changing lifestyle needs. That's what's making these affordable high-yield markets the big story for 2025.
That confluence of factors, exactly. It's opening doors for people who probably felt completely overwhelmed by the costs and complexity before.
Okay, the environment sounds promising. But we know price alone isn't enough. If you want that bargain to actually appreciate, to be a good investment, you need some kind of checklist, right? Balancing the low cost with long-term potential.
You absolutely do. And the first item, it's foundational, economic and political stability. Look, volatility can create entry points, like we said, but you need a baseline of stability. If a country's government is unstable or the rules keep changing unpredictably, the long-term risk can just wipe out any short-term discount. You need policies that clearly support investment, drive job growth, fund infrastructure. that sort of thing.
But hang on, didn't we just say instability, like currency swings, creates the opportunity? Aren't we contradicting ourselves a bit if we demand perfect stability? Where's the line?
That's a really important distinction. We're looking for political and legal stability, meaning the rule of law is respected, property rights, especially for foreigners, are secure.
Ah, I see.
We're not necessarily looking for absolute financial stability like you might find in, say, Germany, where prices are stable, but growth potential is often minimal. We need a market that's dynamic and growing, but where the legal framework is predictable and reliable.
Got it. Okay. So that stable legal ground supports the next key trait, which has to be population growth and urbanization, because more people means more demand for housing.
Inevitably. Especially where you see a middle class expanding rapidly, and you look for tangible signs, not just census numbers. Are they building new transport systems? Are new business districts popping up? Are there major government plans for urban expansion?
Physical evidence of growth.
Exactly. That points to sustained future demand, the kind that keeps rentals filled and pushes prices up over time.
Which leads straight into trait three, infrastructure and amenities. If an area is actively building new roads, airports, hospitals, good schools, that's a huge green flag.
It signals confidence from the local government, doesn't it? They're investing because they expect growth. And that development, in turn, attracts more people and more businesses. It's a virtuous cycle.
Okay, fourth, let's talk numbers. Rental yield and the affordability balance. This is about cash flow, right?
Absolutely. Buying cheap is great, but only if the property starts paying for itself quickly. You should be targeting places where you can realistically expect high rental yields, maybe aiming for over, say, 6, 7, even 8% annually.
Why so high?
Because those high yields cover your holding costs, taxes, maintenance, maybe financing, and they speed up your return on investment significantly. Minimizing vacancy is key here, too.
Finally, the potential deal breaker, which kind of loops back to stability, legal transparency, and foreign ownership rates. Because a cheap property can get very expensive if you hit legal snags.
Oh, disastrously expensive. This is non-negotiable. You need absolute clarity on the title deed system.
Yeah.
You need to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you own what you think you own and that it can't be easily disputed.
And specifically for foreign buyers.
Yes. You must confirm that foreigners can legally buy, own, and crucially sell property with strong protections against, you know, sudden government seizure or rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
Without that legal security, the attractive price is just an illusion, a trap, really.
Okay, so that's our definition of value. Balancing that low entry price with those five things, stability, population growth, infrastructure, yield, and clear legal rights. Now we can start applying this framework. Where on the global map fits this profile?
Right. This is where it gets exciting. Let's pinpoint five specific places our sources highlight as offering that mix of value, growth, and importantly, manageable risk for 2025.
Okay, let's hear them.
First up, Tbilisi, Georgia. It's really emerged as a rising star for value investors. Why? Well, taxes are incredibly low. The process for foreigners buying property is surprisingly simple and transparent, and they offer visa-free entry for many nationalities, sometimes for up to a year.
Wow, easy access.
And that ease of access is fueling demand, especially from tourists and a growing number of remote workers flocking there. You can find apartments, even in pretty central parts of Tbilisi, for under, get this, $60,000.
Wait, seriously, under $60,000 in a capital city with a tourism boom? That's remarkable. That's less than a down payment in so many Western cities. Incredible value.
It really is. Okay, next, let's jump across the Atlantic to Medellin, Colombia. This city has undergone a huge transformation. It's largely shed its old safety concerns and is now known for innovation, its beautiful green spaces, and generally high quality of life.
And that quality of life, plus the great climate and low cost of living, makes it super popular with digital nomads and retirees, right? Which must boost rental demand.
Hugely. Long-term rental demand is strong. And you can still find a modern, say, one-bedroom apartment in a desirable neighborhood like El Poblado for around $80,000.
Still very accessible. Okay, where next?
Third hotspot. Izmir, Turkey. Think of it as the affordable alternative to Istanbul. You get the coastal lifestyle in the Aegean Sea, modern amenities, but it's significantly lower prices.
Properties there starting from as low as $50,000, according to the sources, but we have to address the elephant in the room. Turkey's high inflation, the currency volatility, that feels like a big risk.
It absolutely is a risk, and that's why it's on the list. It represents that classic high-risk, potentially high-reward scenario. It's for investors willing to ride out currency fluctuations for the chance of significant appreciation if or perhaps when the economy stabilizes.
And what's driving investment despite the currency issue?
A growing local economy, significant government investment in infrastructure in that specific region, and also noticeable interest from investors in the Gulf looking for that Mediterranean coastal access.
Okay. Moving further east.
Let's look at Cebu in the Philippines. It has this interesting dual appeal. It's got the tropical paradise thing going on, but it's also a serious business hub. Outsourcing, education, tourism, it's growing fast in all those sectors.
Yeah, and property prices.
You can find a centrally located condo with full foreign ownership rights, which is important for around $70,000. The attraction there is the consistent rental demand, especially from students and expats, coupled with relatively low ongoing costs. Pretty reliable returns in a key Southeast Asian spot.
Right. And number five.
For investors looking towards the MENA region, Cairo, Egypt, presents a lot of potential. The key drivers there are its massive, young, and growing population needing housing, plus some really large-scale development projects signaling government ambition.
You mean like the new administrative capital project?
That's the prime example, yes. It's a huge undertaking, explicitly designed to attract investment, create jobs, and basically build a whole new center away from the historic, crowded parts of Cairo. It's a major government bet on future growth.
And the entry point.
Very accessible. Property prices in parts of Cairo can still start under $40,000. So you have this combination, huge demographic demand meeting massive state-backed development. That makes it a compelling value proposition. Mm-hmm. Okay, but now for the essential reality check. These affordable markets, yes, they can offer fantastic returns, but only if you manage the risks very carefully. We need to be clear about the main threats.
Absolutely. Let's break down the risks highlighted in the sources. First, and maybe the most obvious one we discussed, currency fluctuations, your rental income, your resale value. It could shrink significantly in your home currency if the local one takes a dive.
And the management strategy here, especially in places like Turkey, is crucial. You really need to consider currency hedge strategies.
Explain that simply for our listeners. What does currency hedged actually mean in practice?
It means using financial tools, maybe like futures contracts or specialized bank accounts, to lock in a specific exchange rate now for your future income or your eventual sale proceeds. It protects you if the local currency drops sharply later. It costs a bit, but it removes a huge chunk of that uncertainty.
Makes sense. Okay, second big risk, legal complexity. Navigating local laws, bureaucracy. It can be a nightmare, even if the rules seem clear.
Management is simple in theory, vital in practice. You must work with a trusted local lawyer who specializes in foreign property investment, or use a reputable platform that handles the legal checks and provides that support as part of their service. Don't try to cut corners here, ever.
Third risk, poor construction quality. Lower prices sometimes mean cutting corners on building standards, leading to unexpected maintenance headaches later.
The fix. Again, pretty straightforward, but non-negotiable. Demand detailed, independent inspections by qualified engineers before you buy. Or maybe focus your investment on newer developments from builders with a proven, solid reputation, even if they cost a little bit more initially.
Risk number four, political instability. We talked about needing baseline stability, but sudden policy changes, maybe new taxes on foreign owners, or rules about taking money out of the country, they can hit your investment hard.
And the mitigation really goes back to our first checklist point. Be rigorous about choosing countries with stable governments and, ideally, a track record of respecting foreign investment. Places like Georgia or Colombia, which we mentioned, have actively created investor-friendly policies. Stick to those.
And the final risk, low liquidity. In some of these still developing markets, it might just take longer to sell your property when you want to exit or even find reliable long-term tenants sometimes.
You manage this primarily by focusing on those high-demand urban centers. We identify places where there's proven rental and buyer demand. And this is another area where technology is offering solutions. We're seeing tools emerge that tackle both the legal complexity and this liquidity issue.
Our sources pointed to Gamma Assets as a good example of this. How does a platform like that help, specifically with liquidity?
Yeah, they're a good case study. They offer fractional access. Remember, buying slices of pre-vetted global properties. This obviously lowers the entry cost, lets you diversify across different cities easily. But crucially, platforms like this handle the heavy lifting, the due diligence, the legal compliance, the ongoing management.
And the fractional part helps liquidity how?
Because it's much easier and faster to sell your, say, 1% share of a property through their online platform to another investor than it is to find a single buyer willing to purchase the entire physical apartment in a foreign country, especially if you need to sell quickly.
Ah, okay. It creates its own secondary market for those shares.
Exactly. And you can get started on platforms like that with surprisingly small amounts. The example given was 500 SAR, which is about $135. It really does make global real estate safer, more manageable, and far more accessible than it used to be. It turns these potentially high-yield opportunities into something you can realistically add to your portfolio.
So wrapping this up, the big takeaway from this deep dive isn't really about finding the absolute rock-bottom cheapest property on the planet. It's about finding where that bargain price meets those five key criteria for actual growth and security: stability, population trends, infrastructure, yield, and clear legal rights. That's where the value lies.
Absolutely. And the perception of many emerging markets is genuinely changing. The places we discussed today, they haven't just stumbled into the spotlight. They've often worked hard to improve their legal systems and infrastructure specifically to attract foreign capital. That makes them increasingly viable options, even for more cautious investors who felt completely shut out of the traditional big city markets.
Which leads to a final thought, maybe something provocative for you to consider. If technology, through things like global access and fractional ownership, is lowering the barriers so dramatically, forcing investors to focus less on just where a property is geographically and more on the fundamental drivers of value, population, infrastructure, yield. Does this mean the whole idea of a local real estate market defined by physical borders is starting to become, well, obsolete, something to chew on as you maybe start looking beyond your own backyard,